All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Lord, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, all the provisions you provide for us, Lord, and all that you do for us, Father. Whether we recognize it or not, we thank you, Lord. We just ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom as we open your word. Give us eyes to see and hearts to hear, Father. Lord, help us be faithful to you. In the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I want to bring greetings to you all this morning. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Appreciated the boys giving how they knew the presence of the Lord, and one of them brought out about just the fellowship, and it's just been a real blessing working together with the brethren this week on different projects and just spending time together and just jumping in and getting things. It just amazes me sometimes how neat it is, just how sweet it is, just the fellowship. It doesn't always, we kind of sometimes get to see each other the way we are sometimes, and it's a blessing just to love each other. And it's just neat to watch that all work out. And that's why it works, is because we can have love one for another, even though we might rub each other wrong once in a while, but we can still love each other. And that's just a blessing to see that happen. Just referring to the young people's lesson, most of the boys talked about how God spared them from a calamity or hurt or something. But, you know, we should be thankful to God whenever He does allow things to happen to us, when He does touch us, whenever we do find ourselves in vulnerable places, that's when we really can look to Him and find Him. And just to be thankful that there's like the song, that He's the God of the mountains and He's the God of the valleys. And sometimes it's in those valleys that when we can really, really find out that we need Him. And a lot of times in the mountains we forget that, but that's why we try to be who we are, so He can show us what we are sometimes. That's, you know, a lot of times we fail. We're weak and we fail and we just think but most of the time that is just because what's offended is our high opinion of ourselves. And sometimes He lets us fail. I believe that's what Paul talked about, that thorn in the flesh. I believe it was a weakness that he had that God could touch once in a while and show him, you're not quite what you think you are. I mean, we're in a real world and there's a real devil, and he is more powerful than anything we can even pretend to muster up strength against. And we need the Lord. And I'm just thankful. I mean, I had an incident this week. It's just a close call. And I just... thankful when those things happen, but we can be thankful whenever He lets us get in trouble or lets us have bad times too. So praise the Lord. That goes along with, I think, what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the spirit of a Pharisee. And one of the things that I want to, you know, we can talk about this and recognize it, but one of our best defenses of becoming a Pharisee or being a Pharisee is being real. Allowing ourselves to be open enough to get hurt. Open enough to see what's in us. I think a lot of times we build these shells around us so God can't even see what we really are. And so we don't see what we really are. And we just create this false image of being something when we're truly nothing. And I just, the the best remedy of a Pharisee is to be real. See God who He is and let Him show us who we are. And, you know, we don't like it, but He might let us fall. He might let us fail. He might let us sin and fail miserably. Why? Because He loves us. Because He's trying to show us who we really are so that we can get up and go again. It doesn't say he who is without fault is what He's looking for. He is looking for someone with a heart that is honest and open and transparent. That's the remedy for a Pharisee. That's the remedy for a Pharisee. A Pharisee is just simply someone who's putting on a show of someone that is different than they really are. But we want to look at this morning a little bit, the spirit of a Pharisee. Let's open our Bibles this morning to, I think we'll start in Matthew 23. We'll go to a different place or two as we go. I want to, first of all, before we even start there, just to explain a little bit. Oftentimes, whenever the situation in the world today that we live in, the situation in modern Christianity that we are around all the time, many came out of, as soon as someone is awakened and begins to actually improve themselves and make decisions to start changing and actually start applying the Bible to their lives, one of the first things you hear is that you're being a Pharisee or that you're being self-righteous. I wanted to completely dispel that. Being self-righteous is whenever you think that righteousness is something other than God, what God thinks is righteousness. And that can go both ways. There's people that are self-righteous, living in churches that think that they said a prayer one time and they're saved and they're therefore righteous and they can just live however they want to. That is self-righteousness, because it's not the righteousness of God. There's people who take the Bible and they begin to build on it and add to it and make it more than what it says. That is self-righteousness. There's people who have traditions that they're just holding on to, and they have religion and church and all kinds of things that they're holding on to, and they're trying to... That's self-righteousness. Righteousness is people who just simply do what's right. They do things God's way. They live their life. It's not about religion. They live who they are. That's righteousness. Someone that's just real. And they see what God wants and they begin to put it into practice. And they just do it and they live that way. One of the things that we've learned is that you can't be a Christian until you can just be a man. There's so many people, or a woman, or whatever you are, a man or a woman. There's not anything in between. You're a man or a woman. So if you're a man, you be a man. If you're a woman, you be a man. When you get that down, you're on your road to being a Christian. Did I say something wrong? You're a woman, okay. When you're a woman, you're a woman. Okay. Everybody's face is not... Okay. God made you to be a man, or He made you to be a woman. Whenever we are a man, we are being what God made us to be. That's what Adam did in That's what he made Adam to be in the very garden. He created Adam to be a man. He didn't create Adam to be some super spiritual being or some religious phony. He created a man. And then he gave man the woman. And she's supposed to be a woman. And so when a man actually becomes a man and does the things that God wants him to do, lives his life out without all this pretension, without all this big show, and just does what's right. He loves God and he loves his neighbor as himself. That is that simple. There's not a big worrying about what people are thinking or what people say or what people just worried about how do I appear or how do I look. The verse Kevin gave that the children's lesson, that those that love his law, nothing shall offend them. They're not going around offended all the time. They're not going around, oh, he hurt me. They're not going around like that because they love God, and those, God's got it all under control. He takes care of those who love him. And to love him and have our strength and our hope in following him and being what he wants us to do, what does it matter what anybody else says or thinks? It's just not important. Doesn't mean that we can't be corrected sometimes if we're out of order. Whenever we're not loving our neighbor, we're not loving, we can be corrected and we should listen to someone like that. But to be offended whenever we're just being honest and being open and being what God wants us to be, there's no reason for that. The spirit of a Pharisee. Verse 23. Chapter 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses." The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Okay. They were scribes and Pharisees. We use that term. A Pharisee is a religious sect. A Sadducee is a religious sect. It's not a definition of a hypocrite, but they've become synonymous. Okay? They're different. A Pharisee was, people were such, the Pharisees, the religious sect of the Pharisees had become so prominent that they had taken over the seat of Moses. They had just taken over what the place that the law of Moses had been brought to. They had just taken it over. And so today when we think of a Pharisee, the first thing pops in our minds, a hypocrite. Well, that's not necessarily, it's just that they've become hypocrites. And so we think of a Pharisee as someone who is just bad. That's a bad thing. A Pharisee, they're wicked. Jesus hated them. And so that's what we think they are because that's what we have been taught or what we listen to. But a Pharisee was a very religious person. A Pharisee had an appearance that they looked like they were the holy ones. They had even gotten to that place where they were in the seat of Moses. They had taken it. What do we have today? What do we have today? Do you think things happen again? History repeats itself? Okay, today we think those bad Pharisees, those bad Sadducees, those hypocrites, while we're sitting in the seat of Jesus, the seat of Christianity, and we look down our nose at those people. They're Pharisees. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm a Christian. What I want to look at this morning is the spirit of a Pharisee. Not the title, not the name, but the spirit. Because I don't care what you call it. If it's, we used to use the old saying that If it looks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, what is it? It's a duck. It's got feathers like a duck. It's a duck. We can call it chicken all we want, but it's a duck. When a Pharisee looks like a Pharisee, talks like a Pharisee, acts like a Pharisee, walks like a Pharisee, puts on religious show like a Pharisee, he's a Pharisee. It don't matter what title you put on it. It doesn't become Christian because we like that title better. It's the same thing. Just like people who follow Jesus. If we follow Jesus, if we walk like Jesus, if we talk like Jesus, if we are real like Jesus, if we're a man like Jesus, guess what? We're following Jesus. We're a follower of Jesus. It's the spirit behind these things that we're fighting against, not the titles. The Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. That should alert us that most of the people that have all the things that have been going on for years and years and years, and they are the standard for Christianity because they maintained a few things for hundreds of years. They're a part of a group that's been around for a long time. And so we have the traditions that have always been. We've maintained these through years. So we've got these rules and we've got this club. And if you're a part of it and you listen to our rules, you can too be a part of this group. People have taken over the seat of Christianity, the seat of Christ, just like they did the Pharisees. You see, the spirit of following Jesus is not one of hierarchy and big things going on and keeping things maintained for hundreds of years. The spirit of Christianity is kind of down under the shadows. They didn't know who Jesus was when he walked the earth. And guess what? If we're like him, the world won't know us either. They just don't recognize it. That's one of the biggest things that I had problems with. I thought whenever I started reading the Bible and I got serious about it, I thought, man, I'm going to put this into practice. Nobody else is. I'm going to do it. And everyone will recognize, hey, there's somebody putting the Bible into practice. There's somebody really doing something. There's somebody that's a real Christian. And I wanted to be that. I wanted to preach loud. I wanted to make sure everybody knew that I knew what the Bible said. You know, it didn't take long for my balloon to get popped. Because the closer I came to being like Jesus, the more despised that I became. I thought they would love someone that really just did right and did good and loved following and obeying Jesus. I thought they would love it. But they didn't. I can't tell you how many times doors have been slammed in my face when I've beat on somebody's door and said, can I talk about Jesus? Bam! I'm a Christian. My husband's a deacon at the church. Bang! I thought that's what we wanted. But it wasn't. Because when you become like Jesus, you'll find that you're despised, you're rejected, you're set aside, and no one wants to hear what you have to say. Because there's two spirits in the world. There's the spirit of God that's trying to shine light in darkness. And then there's this black hole of darkness that takes it and just sucks it all away. And sees nothing light at all. If they see any light, they hate it. They think you're judging them. When you're not. You're just trying to share some light with them. But then, if you're the spirit of the Pharisee and you act like a judge and condemn people and do all, you just fit right in. See, the spirit of a Pharisee will get along with the world because it is the world. It's the same old thing. The spirit of a Pharisee, or the spirit of what we're talking about, is the spirit of an actor. An actor. A pretender. You know, the word hypocrite is the same word that we get the word actor from. It's someone that the actors that everyone holds in highest esteem can just put on, they can just change, they can cry, they can laugh, they can put on all this kind of show and make you feel like they really are that way. They can just make you think that they're just sad. And maybe they're happy, but they can make you think you're sad because they're an actor. They're a hypocrite. A hypocrite puts on a show. They're putting on a show. They don't dare let anybody see what they really are. They are putting on a show. A Christian is not someone that is putting on a show. And like we said before, oftentimes we hear that, oh, you're a Pharisee or you're self-righteous. Because you're just trying to follow Jesus. And that's what I want to maintain. That obeying Jesus is not self-righteousness. Obeying Jesus, listening to what He taught us, listening and learning from what He said, trying to be like Him, is what a Christian is. And that's what we need to strive for. Not putting on a show, not trying to pretend like we're something we're not, but just being like Jesus. And that's what the early church was all about. They walked with Him. They talked with Him. They didn't have anything to put on a big show about. He saw right through them and they knew it. How many times did He say, oh, you have little faith? I mean, He just told them. They didn't have it. They were missing it. They got up and followed Him anyway. The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to the deeds, for they say things and do not do them. Okay? The teachings of Jesus. There's churches that are keeping the teachings of Jesus. Keep them. Don't throw them out just because the Pharisees are talking about it. So what are you saying here? Do what's right. Do what they tell you to do when they tell you that we should love our neighbors. We should love our enemies. We should not lay up riches on earth. We should, all the things that they're talking about, find the truth in it and put it into practice. They say them and have an appearance of doing them, but they don't do them. That's on them. They tie up heavy burdens. They lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their plectories and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor in banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues. They respect meetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Does that say that mean we should never call anybody father? That mean we should never call anybody a leader? No. Whenever it says don't call a leader, he's talking about being a Pharisee. There's people that are just trying to be leaders so that they can be in control. It's not what he's wanting. That's not what he wants. He wants the leader to be the humble servant leading that way. And there's nothing wrong with being called a leader when you're the one out in front doing what you're supposed to be doing. What he's talking about is being some kind of high-ranking leader that everybody should just tremble and listen because you've said it. Somebody should, whenever someone in my authority says something and you dare not listen to me, you're in trouble. If I say it and you disagree with me, you're wrong and you're in trouble. That's what he's talking about, not being. The rabbi or the leader or the father is not to be questioned. Someone that's above questioning about whenever I speak something and if you don't listen to me, then it's your problem. That kind of leader. That it's all right to disagree with each other once in a while. It's all right to that if I say something and I try to say something, I see you headed somewhere that you shouldn't be doing, or something, some direction that I say that, wait a minute, you're going the wrong way. Look at this. And if you disagree with me and say, no, I'm going to go this way anyway, you step back and say, okay. And you let them go. A leader, or a, like he's talking about, is someone that can't let anybody go and make their own decisions. It's about our free will. And when a leader, or this rabbi, or this father, can't let anybody have a free will. But a true leader says, I can warn you, I can show you, and I can let you fail, and I can be right there to help pick you back up whenever you fall. But these rabbis and these leaders say, if you disagree with me and you fall, I'm done with you. It's over. The greatest will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe to you, Christians, who are putting on a show. Woe to you who are in the powerful seats of Christianity. You can meet together with all the other big shots. We'll determine how this thing's going to go. We'll all meet together and we'll just sing praises to each other and pat each other on the back and talk about all these things. Go away from each other. Because I am a different denomination and have no fellowship at all with you, have no communion at all. But we can put on a big show. We can put on a big show. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, Christians, that put on big shows, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people. You shut off the kingdom of heaven from people. You know how you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people? Is you make them adhere to your rules. Whenever they see something righteous that they need to do, and you stop them from it, that stifles any life. Because you and I are individuals, and you and I have to answer to the Lord ourselves. And whenever He shows us something, everybody may disagree. You know, Paul, they found Paul, and one man came up, a prophet, and he tied himself all up in a girdle, and he said, the man that wears this girdle, this is what's going to happen to him if he goes to Jerusalem. The whole church was trying to tell him. They wept, they begged him, don't go, don't go. You know what? He went anyway. You know what? He wound up bound up like that. And eventually got himself killed. But was he wrong? Because he didn't listen to the authority of the church? I believe he's in God's will. It's God's will that this is going to happen, he said. Yeah, it's going to be bad. But it's the will of the Lord and I'm going to follow it. But the Pharisees would have stopped him. They would have said, wait a minute, if you're not going to listen to us, we're excommunicating you. We're going to disfellowship with you. We're not going to listen. That's what would have happened. That's how they stopped the kingdom of God. Unrighteous men in a high position of religion don't know anything about a cross. When a man has a cross or a woman has a cross to bear. And so they do everything they can to stop that person from bearing that cross. That's how the kingdom is stopped. You don't enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those entering to enter in. I remember when we used to milk cows, you'd get so aggravated. You'd open the barn door to let a group of cows come in to be milked, and there would be an old boss cow standing right there in the gate. And any of the others started trying to get up there, she'd push them back. She wouldn't go in herself. She didn't want to go in there. And any of the others that tried to go in. The reason I say that is because I know how upset that made me. Whenever there was somebody trying to come in and someone trying to stop them. What do you think God sees whenever there's someone trying to become a part of the kingdom of God? Trying to be honest, trying to be open, trying to just take up their cross and follow Jesus, and some religious hypocrite is telling them they can't do it. I'll guarantee you, God is going to get madder than I did. And I got pretty upset back then. The spirit of a Pharisee. Puts on a big show. Puts on a big religious show. There's murder in their heart. A Pharisee. Yes, let's see. Romans chapter 2. The heart of a Pharisee. What's in the heart of a Pharisee? Romans chapter 2 verse 1. Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourselves. For you who judge, practice the same thing. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? See, a Pharisee has got this outer shell that looks wonderful. Jesus compared that to a whited sepulcher, a beautiful grave. I mean, people today, they have these beautiful caskets. Oh, caskets, just, I mean, varnished and polished and just got brass or silver or gold handles on them. Everything is just beautiful. There ain't nothing but dead, rotting flesh inside of it. That's what it was, a Pharisee. He looked beautiful on the outside. But in the inside, he was nothing but dead men's bones. A Pharisee looks beautiful on the inside, and he can spot your faults. He can spot what you're thinking. He can spot what you're going to do. And he hates it. You know why? Because that's what's driving him in his heart. He knows what he is in his heart. That's why he's so quick to condemn someone else, because he's condemning what's in his heart instead of fixing it. He just polishes the outside a little more. But he can sure see, oh, he'll fall. He'll fail. He'll do this. He'll do that. Why? Because that's what's right here in his heart. How do you think you're going to escape judgment when that rot is in your heart? You may never, ever give the appearance of falling, but that stuff's in your heart. That's why Jesus said, make clean the inside. Open it up. Tear down that religious wall that's keeping you from God. And let God come in and let Him show you who you are. And quit condemning everybody else for the same thing that's in your heart. That's the spirit of a Pharisee. You know why they can be so hard and harsh and judgmental and condemning? Because they know it. Whenever someone starts telling you everything that's wrong with you, I've watched it over and over again. The same stuff is in their heart. They've got a good appearance. They come talking this smooth, nice, religious talk. Never raise their voice. They just have this calm, under control. But they're screaming, raging, mad inside. Because that's what they are. And so they've got this appearance of religious tranquility. It's phony. God knows it's phony. Now let's turn to, just this week I read this passage, John chapter 8. Show you the spirit of a Pharisee. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, He came again into the temple. And all the people were coming to Him, and He sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to Him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What then do you say?" Okay, who brought him? It was these religious Christians. Oh, it says Pharisees here, but the same spirit. They were saying this, testing Him, so they might have grounds for accusing Him. See, the spirit of the Pharisee, they ask all kinds of questions. They're just looking for you to say something out of order so they can write it down in their little book and use it to rend you later. They're not interested in honesty and they're not interested in truth. They're just looking to get the better hand on you so they appear better than you. That's a Pharisee. Just trying to say something so they got one upped on you. They look a little better than you. That makes them feel better. Because really, they don't have anything. And they've got to tear anybody down that's a little bit higher than they are. That's all it is. So they were just trying to find something wrong with Jesus so that they could feel better about themselves. They were offended because they don't love God's law. They don't love it. They were offended by someone that might be actually doing something better than they are. They cannot stand that. It offends them. But Jesus stooped down with His finger and wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking Him, He straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and He was left alone. And the woman where she was in the center of the court, straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." Okay. These people, these Pharisees, what were they wanting to do? They were wanting to stone this woman because she was a sinner. You know, in Matthew 23, if you read on there, it talks about people who tithe, men, Ananias and Cumin. They tithe down to, but they missed the heavier matters of the law. Love, mercy, justice. They missed it. These people were ready to stone this woman, to take up stones and kill her, because they were adulterers in their own hearts. They knew what was in their own heart. But instead of just being honest with it, taking it to the Lord, asking the Lord to help. You know, all that stuff's in all our hearts. You know, I thought whenever I became a Christian, it was just going to be some magic pill and all that was going to be gone. And I was just going to be a saint. But that stuff's still there. I'm still tempted. It's still there. I still have to make choices. I still have to battle and fight to choose to follow the Lord. I can pretend like it's not there. I can build a big wooden box and crawl in it. Make it beautiful. But it's still there. Or I can just say, Lord, here I am. This is what I am. And I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to do what you want me to do, as weak as I am. I'm going to keep on. Now, what I want you to notice now, if you'll turn on to the last part of chapter 8, here are these people that were going to kill this woman. Verse 58, I'm not going to read a lot of it, but it says, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Notice how the chapter started. These hypocrites were going to kill this woman that wasn't up to them. Now look at how the chapter ends. Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Who were they trying to kill when they were trying to kill the woman? Who did they pick up stones and try to kill? It wasn't that weak woman, that sinful woman. They wanted to kill God Himself because He was light. He was real in a world of fake. In a world of hypocrites, actors, phonies, He was real. And anything a phony can't stand is being tested to the real. When you put a phony or a fake up against the real, there's nothing to... The phony's gone. The phony's worthless. Because there's something real there. And the hypocrites want to kill what's real. Because it condemns them. That's the spirit of a hypocrite. We could all have it. We can all have it. We've all had it. But we're learning to be like Jesus. What would it offend? Was Jesus offended because this woman was caught in the very act of adultery? He loved her law. He loved His law. He loved God's law. How did He respond? Mercy, help, charity, forgiveness. Because He loved God's law. A Pharisee, what? How dare you be a sinner? Where's the rocks? I'm going to kill you. Because they don't love God's law. That's why things offend them. That's why sinners offend them. Because they don't love God's law. They may be sitting in the seat of the highest Christianity all that may be resembled as being left of Christianity, trying to hold on the traditions. They may be sitting in that seat, but so were the Pharisees sitting in the seat of Moses. But those that love His law, nothing shall offend Him. We can all fail. Any one of you could fall into sin. If I didn't love God's law, I'd get all mad at you. I'd say, I don't want nothing to do with you. Get away from me, you poison. But if I love God's law, judgment and mercy outweigh all of those things. How do you avoid that? Love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. See what's in there. Let God show you what's in there. Humble yourself. Under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you want to share? A Pharisee can put it on and put it off. I mean, I just reminded me of something. It can't have nothing to do with you in church. I mean, you go to communities where there's people, there's just all kinds of plain people trying to follow the Lord. And they'll just buy and sell and trade and get along just fine, yuck it all up. But then Sunday morning, they won't have nothing to do with you. They'll excommunicate you. But they'll sure sell you something Monday. I mean, I used to get upset because, you know, we're going to the evangelical churches. People would come to church and everybody's all friends and smiles and shake hands and hugs. And then Monday it was cat eat dog, dog eat cat. World. You go right back to fussing, can't get along, you just trying to get the best deal everywhere you can. That used to just disgust me. Just the hypocrisy of the evangelical churches. But you know what? The more I'm learning, these churches that aren't evangelical are just the same. I mean, you go to these communities where there's plain people running out their ears everywhere. It's just completely the same thing. All week long, they get along great. They just buy and sell and have a good time talking. And then on Sunday mornings, they can't get along. just the exact opposite of what the world's doing. But it's the same path, same road. They can put on a show, just like an actor, when it comes to those things.
Stand up, stand up for Jesus, these soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From injury unto injury, His army shall be leading, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Yeah.